Now, if you'll give your prayerful and careful attention to our brother Ken as he delivers the message of the Lord this day. Ken?
Thank you, Tom. A few thoughts came to my mind. Excuse me. What I thought I might present this evening. My brother stands up here this morning and delivers about half of my sermon. So I debated whether to start all over again or continue where he left off. And as he was preaching this morning, a thought came to my mind, and hopefully that's what the Lord wants us to bring forward this evening. The last song we sang, it is wonderful. I don't know, I hope each one here feels as good tonight as I do. I felt good when I got up this morning, and I felt good all day. You know why? I feel good because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel good because He's given us the gospel. If we grasp a hold of it and follow it to its end, it will lead to eternal life. Tonight I'd like to use somebody else's sermon tonight. To me, the sermon that we're going to use part of is the greatest sermon that was ever given. We refer to it and know it as the Sermon on the Mount. I thought tonight, I'm not going to read or discuss the whole thing, but certain verses seem to stand out to me. I'm going to read mostly from the 5th, 6th, and part of the 7th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Matthew. And from time to time, I'm going to refer to the same sermon that our Lord and Master gave on this continent. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to start with the 13th verse in the 5th chapter. The words of our Lord. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted?" Wherewith what shall be salted? The earth. How can we salt the earth if we've lost our savor? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In our day-to-day walk in life, to be a light, a beacon, we're to shine forth that we may draw men to God. If you're the salt of the earth, if you salt something, it brings out the goodness in whatever you salt. You've heard the expression that man or that woman are the salt of the earth. And we use that phrase in connection with, well, generally being a moral and an upright person, a good citizen. If we're to be the salt of the earth, we'd be good citizens. Good citizens of this gospel. We're to bring out the goodness and the children of men. Just let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And glorify your Father which is in heaven. Not to glorify ourselves, not to bring any honor or glory upon any one person or any group of people, but to glorify our Father in heaven. And if we do it for any other reason, we're in error. We're not to seek honor or glory of our own, but only the glory of our Father in heaven. Skipping down to the 21st verse. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Raca would, my understanding, would be a term of contempt, sort of referring to somebody as worthless. If we call somebody thou fool, well, we have contempt for their character. We're actually referring to somebody maybe as being an idiot or a simpleton. When we think or speak of somebody in those terms, the Lord says we're in danger of the council or in danger of hellfire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. I'd like to read page 637 in the Book of Mormon. It reads just a little different, but I think it brings out the meaning. In the 71st verse, page 637, he says, therefore, if he shall come unto me, or shall desire to come unto me, and remembers that thy brother has aught against thee, go thy way unto thy brother. And first be reconciled to thy brother, and then come unto me. Excuse me. Then come unto me with full purpose of heart, and I will receive you. Puts it on our shoulders. You know, we may have said or done something that may have offended one of our brothers or sisters. Some word or some deed or even some thought. It's up to us to go to that brother or sister and to be reconciled to them. We can't allow in the Church of Christ bad feelings to be harbored. When you have bad feelings one to another, they're like a cancer. They feed on themselves and they grow. We must have within our hearts and our minds complete forgiveness one for another. No matter how bad we may think we've been wrong, we must forgive. That was impressed upon me several weeks ago. Within this body of the Church of Christ, we didn't have that complete forgiveness one for another. But we didn't have the pure love of Jesus Christ within our hearts. Until we can find it within ourselves to completely and wholly forgive, we can't really grow. The Lord says, we desire to go on to him and have aught against our brother, for our brother has aught against us. In so many words, he says that we can't go on to him, that we can't approach him. But we have to go and make it right. And then if we come on to him with full purpose of heart, he says he will receive you. Agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. I think that simply states that we're to, so many words, to mind your own business, to not get entangled with the affairs of the world, possibly not get entangled with lawsuits or such thing as that. Now, possibly there's people that have a different point of view on that, but I don't think it has anything to, other than just in our temporal world. Not to make enemies. Obey the laws of the land, possibly. You've heard them? Heard that was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Verse 78 says, behold, I give unto you a commandment that ye suffer none of these things to enter into your heart. For it is better that ye should deny yourselves of these things, wherein ye would take up your cross, than that ye should be cast into hell. We're to rid ourselves of evil desires, of those things that would put us in danger of being cast into hell. The Book of Mormon says that you take up your cross, you take up your burden or your trial or your temptation. But that none of these things should enter in. And if they do, if there's something within our lives that would offend, that is wrong, we're to cast it from us. Going to the 42nd verse. It says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not thou away. You've heard that it's been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them that love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brother only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? You know, if we just love those of our brothers and sisters in this gospel, just what reward have we? But I think our love is to go beyond the bounds of this church, beyond the bounds of this gospel. And I think in this context that our enemy would be those of the world that would ridicule us and point their finger at us. We're to bless them. We're to pray for them. That same God that watches over us watches over each and every one. The 48th verse, he says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." I'm really not going to say anything about that verse, except to say that Paul says, go on to perfection. I don't know if we can achieve it in our mortal bodies or not. But that is our goal. We're to strive for that. I think all too often we use the excuse, well, I'm only human. I'm only human, so I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to do such and such. Brothers and sisters, that's an excuse. That's an excuse to say that we're only human. True, we are. True, we're going to make mistakes. But many times, we use that excuse. I believe we've been called to a higher profession. I believe that our calling is far beyond. We're to go on to perfection. Sixth chapter of Matthew. He'd been speaking in the first few verses about praying, and he compared to the hypocrite who prayed to be seen. And then he said to go into your closet and pray in secret. He says, "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him." He says, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." He says, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." Hallowed would be holy, reverent, with the deepest respect. And I think in this prayer that the Lord really encompasses all things. First of all, we're giving our respect to the Lord. He says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." We're asking the Lord that his will be done, not ours or not our neighbor's, but his will. "Give us this day our daily bread." It really is the Lord that sustains us. You know, we're admonished many, many times to pray for our flocks and our families, our brothers and our sisters. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Give us those things that we need to sustain life. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And that, we're asking for forgiveness. And we'll find out if we read a little bit further that it does put a condition upon us. Now, I'm not going to touch that now. I'll wait a couple moments. But just remember that. He says, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." There's a scripture that tells us that we're to pray. Be led away from temptation. Many times the Lord has asked us to do that. To lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Thine is the kingdom. It's his kingdom. It's not ours. It's his power. And it's his glory. And if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive yours. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. If we don't forgive completely, we can't expect the Lord to do that. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. For they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. And our brothers stand here this morning and mention that very fact. The last time that this group of people fasted and prayed for 3 days, that many people received blessings. I don't think there's a one that didn't receive great blessings. And I don't think that if anybody in the world had seen us, that they would have known that we were fasting or anything else. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. There's other, you know, we could go off on into other areas. That when we give our alms, we give them in secret, not to make a show of it, but to do it in secret, and we'll get our reward. Scripture also says that those that do it for a show have already received their reward. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And isn't that the truth? Where is our treasure? Is our treasure in heaven? Or is our treasure here on earth? If we're not sure, it's time that we made up our mind where our treasure is. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. You can't serve the true God. You can't serve the God of riches. You can't serve the God of the world. We have to make up our minds who we're to serve. Where's your treasure? Is your treasure here on earth? Or is your treasure in heaven? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink? Wherewith all shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, we can be consumed with worry, with concern about tomorrow or next week, next month, next year. You know, we may not be sure we can make our house payment. We may not be sure that we'll even have a job. You know, the Lord knows exactly what we need to survive. The Lord knows our individual needs. If we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I think that's a very important phrase. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I think we need to search, to see what kind of people we must be. He says, and all these things shall be added unto you. You see that we're clothed and fed, that we have shelter. All too often we fail. We fail in the cares, in the trials and the tribulations that we may face on a daily basis, to look beyond and see if we put our faith and our trust completely in God, He'll take care of us. Suddenly those trials, or those appear to be mountains that are put before us, just dissolve away. And we know that the Lord is taking care of us. I would dare say that each of us spend far too much of our time and our energy worrying and fretting over the things. In a lot of cases, we don't have a bit of control over. But over those things that we need not. You know, we're concerned of our families. We're concerned about feeding and clothing them. That's natural. But when we become overly consumed, I'm going to use that word, consumed, with providing, and it takes our thoughts and our energies, it takes us away from the things of God. You know, we can get ourselves in such a state that we stop praying, that we stop studying, that those things prey upon our minds so much that we cannot concentrate on the things of the Lord. I think our brother made mention of this morning, that's a work of the adversary. Put our faith and our trust in God. Take the time to pray. Take the time to study. Put God first. He'll reward you. He'll see that you have those things that you need. And if we can do that with faith, if we can say, if we can put our faith and our trust in the Lord and do the things that we're supposed to do, we can rest assured that He'll provide. You know, we'll have to go out and do it ourselves. I expect we'll have to work. Those things won't change. But we don't have to worry about it. About this whole physical body. Okay? I really believe that the Lord watches over each and every one of us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our desires. He knows those things that are wrong with us. And all He wants from us is our very best. Strive. Strive for that perfection. We may not reach it, but don't use it as an excuse. Don't use our humanness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Things that are needful for life. I dare say if we went and lived in most countries in this world, we come to a pretty fast realization that a lot of things that we have in this life are not needful. I bet you if we went and lived in other countries, that we'd come to the realization pretty fast that we have a lot of things that we think we need, but to most people in this world are unheard of luxuries. Things that we take for granted. Just something to think about. Seventh chapter, it says, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. When you meet something, you eat a lot or you distribute it. What kind of judgment we use? Probably come back to us. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? I'd like to ask, what is a mote? Is not a mote a small particle? And a beam a large particle? And why beholdest thou the small particle that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the large one that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Let's look within ourselves. Let's look within ourselves. And we spend a lot of time looking at other people. A lot of time. Well, a lot of time judging other people. You know, we judge other people by our set of standards. Maybe sometimes we should look at ourselves and see where we stand up. See where we would be judged by our Lord and Master. Let us be careful. Let us be careful how we feel, how we think of one another. It's an old saying that says, you know, don't judge another man until you walked a mile in his shoes. Or words to that effect. And that's very true. So often we look at people and we don't take time to stop and really look at that person. We're quick to condemn, and sometimes slow to forgive and slow to love, slow to hold each other up. You know, we develop habits. Our children develop habits. Some good, some bad. We all have them. Sometimes we develop bad habits. We can develop a habit of being quick to condemn, quick to judge, quick to look down on somebody. It becomes a habit. It becomes a way of life. It becomes something maybe we don't even realize that we do. On the other hand, we develop good habits. And a habit is something that you do without thinking, whether it be a good habit or a bad habit, and a lot of times we don't realize that we do it. And when we develop a bad habit, as I said before, sometimes we don't realize that we're doing it. But it's just as easy to cultivate a good habit. It becomes just as much a part of our way of life to praise somebody or to say a good word about somebody or to lift them up or to help. It's just as easy to do that as it is the other. I'm afraid, brothers and sisters, that sometimes we're too quick to cultivate and follow that bad habit. Seventh verse. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and everyone that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We seek, we ask, we seek, and we knock. Other scriptures say that we must be diligent, or we must be fervent. We have to go beyond a half-hearted effort. And I think it goes back To where our treasure is, there our heart be. If we have a treasure that we're seeking to claim, there's a scripture that refers to a field with a treasure in it. And I'm sure that each of us, if we knew that such and such, if we were sure that in such and such a place, there was a plot of ground that had a great treasure in it, but we had to do certain things, and we had to work really hard to get there, and we had to dig really hard to dig that treasure up, and we were positive it was there, I'm sure that each of us would put forth a great effort to get that treasure. Is not the treasure that we seek the same? Do we not have to put forth a great effort? I think sometimes when we ask or seek or knock, we don't do it diligently or fervently with great enthusiasm. Most successes, there are a few exceptions in this world, but most successes come by hard work. Possibly the same with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our success will come with our hard work. The time is swiftly passing. The time that we can ride down the middle of that road, the time that we can sit on the fence, if it hasn't already passed, time is fast approaching that it has. Choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. You can't serve two masters. Can't be a half-hearted people. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? There's not one of us that would do that. If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? Therefore, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. I don't think I'll say. I was going to say something about that, and possibly I won't. Except that before we say or think or do anything, look at it from the other person's perspective and see how would it affect me. How would I feel if that person said that about me or said that to me or thought that about me? How would I feel? Or if our brother or sister stands in need, how would I feel if nobody came and helped me fix a hole in my roof or whatever? How would I feel? Enter ye at the strait gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate and narrow the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Lehi's vision. Straight and narrow path that led to the tree of life. There's few that made it because of the temptations, because they wandered off and were lost. Once we find the way, Brothers and sisters, we have found the way. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's up to us to grab a hold of the rod of iron and continue in that path. And only by holding on to the Word of God can we hope to make it to the end of our journey. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these things, sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Our road at times may seem long, may seem hard. It may seem that there's so many stumbling blocks and so many things that we have to overcome and correct in our lives. But at the end of that road, when our walk here is done, the Lord has promised us great and marvelous things. The Lord has promised us an eternity with Him. I've used this analogy before. We're trading. We're trading whatever the Lord has given us. For some, it's a very short time. And for others, it may seem like a long time, but whatever the time that the Lord has allotted us, whether it be a few years to many years, we're trading that time that the Lord has given us for an eternity. And how we spend our time will determine how we spend that eternity. The song Amazing Grace says that when we're there 10,000 years, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. When we think of eternity, you know, time is measured unto man. It's, you know, we have hours and days and weeks. And I personally cannot fathom eternity. Eternity is just really beyond my comprehension because it's so vast and endless. But that is our final station. Our final station is eternity. It's up to us to choose where we're going to spend it. It's up to us to choose where we're going to spend forever. But if we endure to the end, if we hold fast to the rod of iron, if we strive daily for perfection, if we overcome, great and marvelous is our reward and the blessings that we shall receive. Great blessings in this life. And a great hope. A great hope. And isn't that the end? of our walk here, the hope that we have, the great hope of eternity. And that's why I said when I got up here tonight that I felt good. I feel good knowing that we have the gospel of Jesus Christ. I feel good knowing that the Lord has chosen us to spend eternity with Him. I hope that each of us feel good about it. That each of us, tomorrow, the next day, and the weeks, and the days, and the months after, will feel good. Feel good about the gospel of Jesus Christ. We'll feel good that we have Jesus Christ in our lives. Feel good that we have the Holy Spirit that He promised in our lives. We'll feel good that we can overcome not only our present trials and temptations, but we can overcome. By overcoming, we have the promise. And it's a sure promise. It's a promise that we have that the Lord will give to His chosen servants, to those that are righteous, to those that have chosen to follow Him and keep His commandments, eternal life. It's up to us. We have a great work ahead of us. The road may be long, but it's straight. If we have the rod of iron, we'll not veer from left to right, but we'll go straight. We'll gain the eternal glory that the Lord has promised us. Thank you.